Hello and welcome to Dare to Dream. I am Bruce Mulberry, founder with my wife Terry at Hearts at Liberty Ministries, www.heartsatliberty.com. And I also serve as the associate pastor at Hopewell Community Church in Pottstown. We are glad to have you with us. Today on Dare to Dream, we're going to be focusing on dreams are the womb for the birth and birthplace of fantasy or vision. As we look at that, we consider where do dreams come from? Well, I'd lay out before you that dreams come from several areas: our own experiences in life, relationships, that's with people and organizations, and also in our own study with books and off of the internet surfing. As we read, as we talk with people, they stir our emotions. And as our emotions are stirred, we begin to take a thought about what they say. And sometimes it moves to daydreaming, and sometimes it takes us to planning for the future. That's what I call dreams. We start to think about what our future could turn into and where we are now and what's it going to take in order to get to where we want to be. Well, dreams are a strongly desired goal or purpose. Dreams sometimes bring satisfaction. I know Walter Mitty, a James Thurber character, he would do some daydreaming and he'd get some personal satisfaction out of false experiences. Well, that's fantasy. The power or process of creating especially unrealistic or improbable mental imaging. I sure don't want a Walter Mitty syndrome in my life. I like to have vision. And vision is the act and power of an imagination, of being able to see and conceive the future with unusual discernment or foresight. As we consider being able to have that imagination and to bring into our mind a picture of what the future looks like, we have to choose, is that going to be a fantasy or is that going to be a vision? Fantasies never come to pass because they are inherently lack the faith necessary to mobilize me to work efficiently, effectively, and consistently. Vision, on the other hand, is brought into manifestation, comes into reality through faith that inspires my best effort. And dreams are the womb or the birthplace of both of those. As we dream, we imagine what could happen. Peyton, and I give a quote from him, Douglas MacArthur, says, "Nobody grows old merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their dreams, their ideals. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up on interest wrinkles the soul. Worry, doubt, self-distrust, fear, and despair. These are the long, long years that bow the head and turn the growing spirit back to dust. Whatever your years, there is in every being's heart the love of wonder, the undaunted challenge of events, the unfailing childlike appetite for what's next, and the joy of the game of life. You are as young as your faith, as old as your doubt, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fear, as young as your hope, as old as your despair." I love that quote. You've had dreams. You've envisioned the future. You've tried to accomplish great tasks. And then slowly life comes in and ebbs away and comes in and ebbs away. And suddenly you find yourself years down the line where you've not seen the true fruit of what your dreams once were. Well, what can we do about that? How can we bring that to full stature? We want dreams to mature. We want them to have a natural growth process. We want them to ripen. We want them, as they develop, to take us with that thrill of the new into the next step. For many of us, though, they've become old and worn out like shoes. We keep trying and trying, and the shoe just gets worn out, and finally we have to throw it away. And that's steals the joy of our lives. But there's also old dreams that come with dignity and great age, showing the effects of our life. And when they come mighty and strong in our lives, we just don't give up. We push forward with what God calls us to do. There was a writer of a very epic poem. His name was John Milton. John Milton wrote his epic poem when he was blind and old. However, the poem itself started when he was a young child. It was just a thought out there, but the child knew what he wanted to do. He got into his youth and he got into his studies, his travels, and the stormy years never allowed him to sit and write this poem. But finally, when he was blind and old, the poet realized his dream of his childhood. And then the heroic strains of Paradise Lost was written. This epic poem continues today in many English classes around the world. His dream never became old, worn-out shoes. His dream was always there in front of him, and he was always looking to accomplish it. What dreams do you have out before you that you've maybe allowed to become an old, worn-out shoe, and you've put it into the closet? Ask God and seek what he might have you to do with that, because dreams are the place where vision can come forth. A Chicago real estate broker, his name was William Chapman, took a trip one year with his wife, and he went into a hotel, and as he opened the drawer, he found the Gideon Bible that was there. And as he was just reading through the Gideon Bible, God impressed upon his heart, "This is great, a Bible in every hotel room. I believe I want to see a Bible in every home." He prayed with his wife on that, and as he worked through that, he looked at his wife and started saying, "How many homes around this world do not have a Bible?" That night, the American Home Bible League was born. He determined to put a Bible in every home. Since its birth in that hotel room, the American Home Bible League has distributed millions of Bibles across this world. This is another man that allowed a dream to take true fruition. As we look at that, you know, another man that comes to my mind with dreams is Thomas Edison. He was one of the greatest inventors that came across in recent history. And, you know, he made a statement to the public that he was not truly an inventor. And when the people ask him, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, it's not that I'm an inventor, even though I've seen 1,000 patents to my name. What I've done is I've heard other people's dreams, and then I accomplished those dreams. They're the ones that thought of it." How many of us have put a dream out in front of somebody and watched them fulfill the dream when it was really our dream? Well, I think God wants us to move forward, and he has plans for us. And many know this Bible verse, plans for us to prosper us and not to harm us. Well, at that point, Israel was in punishment, actually slaves in another nation. And he was telling them, at this point in your life, this is a learning moment. I have plans that are going to prosper you. Don't let this take your wind away, but keep moving forward. Dreams to think about what we need to accomplish. What has to happen is faith has to mature. Hope has to be born. A lot of people confuse faith and hope. A lot of people decide hope is more important than faith. But in one of our studies in the future, we're going to come across Hebrews as we continue to talk about dreams being the womb or the birthplace of fantasy and vision. When we do this, we're going to find out that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is a byproduct of faith. Faith must rise up. David Lloyd George says, "Faith is idle when circumstances are right. Only when they are adverse is one's faith in God exercised. Faith, like muscle, grows strong and supple with exercise." I pray that our faith will become mighty and strong as we allow that to work. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes because we meditate on His Word day and night. Joshua 1 says that if we do that, we shall have good success. Faith is brought into our lives because Holy Spirit is allowed to work in us, His good pleasure, because His Word dwells in us. I think faith also comes through the prayer closet. Matthew 6:6 says, "When you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret." It goes on to say, when you do that, He will hear you and reward you openly. It is true that faith strongholds are built up because we interrelate and act with God's Word. God interrelates and acts with us as we grow in the knowledge of who He is. That only happens at that point where our soul comes alive and the Spirit bears witness with Holy Spirit that we're His child. And that comes through godly sorrow, through that leads to repentance, that leads to salvation. And when we take that opportunity of what Christ did for us on the cross, faith grows and is born. And from faith, He starts to set His plans before us. We start to get involved with what His plans are in our lives. And we start to get a faith stronghold in our life. But that faith stronghold only becomes strong and mighty, and the muscle becomes very strong as we understand that it's right there in the prayer closet that faith weapons herself for daily conflict. Daily conflict steals our joy, steals our hope, and then we stop working towards the dream. When we can get into the closet and be alone with God and allow His Word to come forth, the silence in that closet of prayer leads us into our life, and silence bequeaths death. But when we're active in prayer and God is active in our life and in that closet, there's that interrelationship with the Word and with God, and He builds up His image in us. It becomes a mighty, mighty chamber of exercise of faith. When it's not used, the door on the hinges become rusty and the chamber gets deserted, and then we lose our faith. I pray that you will be finding your way to the prayer closet. Find your way to the faith stronghold and let God rekindle your dreams. What a phenomenal thought that we could take a dream and bring it into reality. The reality of bringing our children into knowing who Jesus is. My wife, Terry, has a great opportunity for you to understand how to help our children come into bringing Jesus into their life in a strong way in this upcoming Christmas season.
Hello there. I'm Terry Mulberry. It's hard to believe we're into September and already the stores are jumping into holiday mode. Aren't you tired of the commercialization of Christmas every year? We have an amazing offer to help you keep Christ central in your Christmas with a Christmas countdown calendar. Forget traditional Advent calendars. Forget the candy. Forget the elves. This calendar has scripture cards and ornaments that teach the gospel through the Christmas story. And that's what Christmas really is about, after all. You can see our Christmas countdown calendar in two places. First, you can go to our special Facebook page for the Christmas countdown calendar. That's what you want to type in your Facebook page. Christmas countdown calendar. And there you'll see lots of pictures and get all the details. Or go to our webpage, heartsatliberty.com. On the left-hand side, select Resources, then select Christmas Calendar. You'll be able to purchase the calendar from that page. The calendar is great for Christmas gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even shower gifts. And it's not just for children. Grown-ups love it too. So go to Facebook and look up Christmas Countdown Calendar or heartsatliberty.com. And keep Christ in your Christmas this year.
Friends, we thank you for joining us today. I'd like to just share a little bit about At Liberty Ministries. As you look at our webpage and you see that we're a faith-based ministry, we would like to have your help in order to stay on the air with Dare to Dream. and join our website again at heartsatliberty.com. And you'll find a way to give donations to us in order to reach the dream that God has given us. And we'll be sharing more of those dreams that God has given us over the time with you. The reality of our hope, our faith that takes us into our dreams is because God is the center of it. For those of us that have a worldview of Christianity, of Jesus Christ, the worldview is going to place us into an area that says, God, what's your plan? God, what is it that you desire? And when we're able to place God in first place and we allow his word to dwell in us richly, we now begin to understand that we're not here for ourselves, that there's something more greater to be done than trying to find pleasure and find our way in this world by finding a job or having a job that takes us through and we have money in order to pay our bills. But rather, we move forward with the understanding that that source of revenue is there for the glory of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms and with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestinated us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times would have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ." That word predestined has a lot of people take a lot of discussion and a lot of different theology sometimes come head to head. For me, I find that predestined to be to the praise of his glory, to be destined and predestined in order to come into the accordance with Jesus Christ and his good pleasure to his will, to become blameless in his sight in love, to be adopted as his son. That's a predetermined point of arrival. That's a place God has, when we take Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he has predetermined. You accept Christ, you will become like Christ. You accept Christ, you will be to the praise of his glory. Now, some of us take wandering pathways to that point of the predetermined arrival, and we end up like Jonah, maybe not in the belly of the well, but we try to take our own pathway, and God says, well, let me help you out and find your pathway back to the praise of my glory. As you start to dream, as you start to set goals into the future, as you want to accomplish the great things for your family, for yourself, for the glory of God, God says, set your pathway to the praise of my glory. And with that, his word will lead us into those places that he has predetermined our point of arrival, because in him we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of that which we have done against God in accordance to the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us in wisdom and understanding. That is a powerful passage that has a lot more to say about it. But as I stay focused on dreams in our discussion today, it has major ramifications in how we apply the dreams that we have. I started our conversation today with the thought that our dreams come from our interaction with people, with corporations, comes from our own Bible study books, different books that we read, from our way we surf the internet. If all of those things that we are allowing to invest in our life are leading us towards the King of Kings, we're going to find that our dreams are going to start manifesting to the praise of his glory. We decide that they're not that way, and they lead us astray from godly ways. They're going to lead our dreams away from those things that are going to be for God and the praise of His glory. What do you hope for? What is it that you're dreaming about? What has God placed in your heart that you want to accomplish? Is your faith idle? Is your faith strong because you've been in that stronghold of building place in the closet of prayer and Bible study? Are you giving hard work, placing your best effort forward to accomplish the dreams that God has given you to do? Dreams don't just come into existence because we start thinking about it. It takes hard work. You know, as a student, and we're just coming into the fresh new school year for the many students across our nation, there's hard work involved in that. For some, it's getting up very early in the morning in order to catch a bus ride that could take an hour, to get to school to study, to perform for grades, unless you have a vision of what you're going there for. Then they become a stepping stone, and that hard work leads you to the next step, student. I would encourage you, students, to be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you if you know Him as your personal Savior. And with that, He will give you the dream of tomorrow and why you're getting up so early in the morning, having to go for that bus ride, having to go through all of the books and the study and the application to advance your ability to think and problem solve, to advance your ability to use that information in order to create new environments. The other day I was looking at some things, and it said that currently the most jobs that are available that people are taking advantage of, and they're finding them to be the best return on investment of people's lives for their heart and for dollars, those jobs didn't even exist 10 years ago. The newness of things that are happening, if you're prepared in school, you'll be able to take on those new things and be able to even create other new things. I want to encourage you, dare to dream. Dare to bring your life to that point in Christ that He gives you the joy of where you're headed. Looking back over the history of men, there's a gentleman that was a great scientist, and he figured out a way to find out where absolute zero was, where molecules stopped moving. In order to get to that point, he had to go through much science and much understanding in order to get to that absolute zero. His name was John Calvin. Very sharp scientist that knew God, and he used God and what God was in his life in order to accomplish those great scientific discoveries that he used. That's a scientist. There's other people across our world that have done the same. Many of the politicians in our Congress today are declaring Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they're there because they believe that Jesus has empowered them to be where they are to help lead our nation in a godly fashion. There's plumbers, there's electricians, there's all sorts of trades out there. But those trades are not there to be a job. Those trades are out there to be the place to share and praise God's glory. Whether you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, whether you want to be already are a doctor or a lawyer, I want to encourage you to dream. Find what God wants you to accomplish and bring it to the world. Because as we manifest God's creation to others, we bring praise to God's glory. This does not come because one day we decide that in a hotel room that we want to get a Bible in every home. Although that seeded the thought, the only way the Bible's made it to the homes that it made it to was because somebody went to work. Somebody applied their time, their talent, and their treasure to accomplish the dream that was in their heart. Many years ago, there was an argument with Christopher Columbus, and they were called the Flat Earth Society. And they were arguing, saying, no, you can't go do that because the earth is flat and you're going to go out to the end of the place and you're just going to drop off the edge. Many of the scientists couldn't come into agreement with what was happening back there. And as they studied the world and studied the sun and studied the atmosphere, they came to the conclusion that it was round, and Christopher Columbus definitely thought it was round. So he started to sail. And he only proved that it was round because he was willing to sacrifice his life. He was willing to sacrifice his riches. He was willing to sacrifice in order to prove what God had given him the dream for. I want to encourage you, dream. Don't be afraid of what other people might mock and play with you on. Stand in your dream if God is in the center of it. There's wisdom in godly counsel. There's understanding as those counselors come around you and share in your life. Find those counselors. Let them speak into your life. Be aware of the word of God in your life. Be aware of what God is speaking to you personally. And then take your dream to the next step so that your dream becomes a reality. That's exciting. That becomes possible because I'm willing to work. I'm willing to put my best effort forward. I'm willing to have Christ in me, the hope of glory. The reason Christ in me, the hope of glory, is the purposes that I can depend on is because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. My God will work in me his good pleasure when I allow him to have that good pleasure. My love relationship with him takes me into that honoring position of saying, God, what is your pleasure? And I get to work for it. So as you dare to dream, set God as first priority. Take Ephesians 1 as I've read it and be going towards that predetermined outcome to the praise of his glory. That's the thrill of knowing Jesus. That's the thrill of working hard. That's the thrill of success. That's the thrill of getting the attaboys and attagirls from your fellow men and women. That's the thrill of seeing the success. If you're running your race, run it with patience. Run it with wisdom. Run it with knowledge. And you will have good success if you'll meditate on the word of God, Joshua 1:9. That's the thrill of knowing him and the power of his resurrection. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Our God created. He has the power. He has the authority. He has the knowledge. And he wants to share all of that with us as individuals. To God be the glory. That's what we're all about on this earth. Singing to the praise of his glory. The wonders of his works. And may we find that love in Jesus Christ. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. By faith, we find that history comes forward into the glory of who God is and what he wants to accomplish. History and world events are going God's plan, what he's declared he will do. But he's given us choices in the middle of all of that. What is your choice? What is your dream? What is your desire? What is your hope? And then as the light grows and brightens, our dream does not become old and worn out. Our dream becomes life and newness and hope so that what God begins, he will finish. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. Let Christ do his work in us for your glory, God, in Jesus' name. Father, as we close our time today, I would ask you to birth in us dreams. Birth in us vision so that we can go for the glory of your and the praise of your glory. God, thank you for who you are in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. thanks so much for joining with us today. It's been a pleasure to share my heart, and over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about Dare to Dream. Where is your house of worship? Sundays in America, it's our worship day. I pray that you find that house of worship and join in and let iron sharpen iron. Be in church. It's a great place and a safe place to share your heart.